Afternoon-ish. Hello.
So the show, because it operates on such a different kind of frequency than The Walking Dead, did you find that on a certain level you kind of had to like break down, you know, the concept entirely? I mean, granted, you preserve the mythology and you have to respect, you know, what Robert's established in this world, but because it operates less in, you know, with a million walkers and a ton of gore and so and that kind of, there's less.
Oh, believe me, there's gore.
Oh, there's
okay,
gore,
so
yes,
so this is not the sanitized version of the world where we're cutting away.
But I've heard, for example, that like, you know, it takes its cue less from, say, the Romero zombie films that Robert, you know, used for Walking Dead, and a little bit more of the paranoia thrillers that we see in cinema. Is that?
I think it's a hybrid, really.
It is a hybrid.
Yeah, it is definitely a hybrid, and the reason is it's because more about the audience. The audience knows there's the ticking bomb under the table, mm-hmm. and what's behind that door, don't open the door, mm-hmm. and the characters don't.
The audience knows way more than we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they know the rules. Our audience, I mean, our characters don't know the rules of this universe, and there is no roadmap of a comic book, so that at the same time, the actors and the fans have no idea, in many cases, where their characters and where this world is going to go. So everyone is experiencing it new at this, you know, sort of as they receive the scripts and as they watch the show. And I love what you say about, you know, where this is versus where the...
It's a good
analogy.
This is like the 11th of October. You remember the 12th of October, the discovery of America. This is the 11th. The 12th, everybody knows about the 12th now, but the 11th, nobody knows what happened. The 11th, the people got up, and then it's like another day. And then the next day, everything went to hell as far as they were concerned. And nobody writes about the 11th. People write about the 12th and afterwards. But before the 12th...
And people were dealing with significant issues that day that really mattered to them before they became overshadowed by something that they had no experience with, no expectations of happening, and no skills, you know, that they were equipped to deal with.
And survival becomes an issue. Right or wrong becomes an issue. The rug is pulled out from under you. And I think some of the psychology that comes in for us is our walkers aren't decayed. They look like you and I, in essence. And it's a lot more difficult to bash a skull in when it's you as opposed to someone whose jaw is hanging off. Do you know what I mean? So we're sort of, our characters especially, we start out thinking this is a flu epidemic, that this is going to pass. We have no idea what's happening. And then to battle with that concept of, oh my gosh, I have to kill a human being, you know, we're sort of thrown into the abyss and left to fend for ourselves. There are no rules for us. We have to make them as
well. And we have no... characters like Rick Grimes or Shane Walsh, who are police officers, who are alpha males, used to keeping the peace, you know, competent with guns and weapons, and, you know, used to being in charge and telling other people what to do. We have a group of people who, in many ways, are in sort of a more of a service industry. We have guidance counselors and English teachers, you know, who are there to help other people. We have a barber. And also a totally new strata that we've never dealt with in The Walking Dead, which is older teenagers and young adults who are just embarking. They're about to get their wings and fly, or in the case of Nick, maybe crash.
Right.
And all of them have to face this new world that they want to believe is just, it's a blip, it's a, you know, it's a speed bump. They'll get past and the world will go back to normal.
And the cool thing is there's such a mixture of different cultures, right? So we have this sort of makeshift family that's been forced together of different cultures. We have different ages. So like Gail was saying, you're not just dealing with adults who, you know, they're fighting for authority or they're fighting for survival. It's a teenager who is still in high school. It's a potential drug addict. It's a young adult who's just starting her life out, figuring out her career. It's a lot of sort of levels. It's older generations, younger generations. You see such an amalgam of people being thrown together and then, right, shake it up and go. Let's see what happens. Yes.
So tracking out that first season,
they talked a lot about, you know, it's a slow burn at the beginning, and then you hit a point where people have to start protecting themselves and dealing with what this new normal is going to be. By the end of the first arc, how learned do you want everybody to be as they move on to whatever the next chapter is going to be? Is it still really early
each
days,
character,
or does it
each
go downhill fast?
Each character is on a different continuum.
Okay.
You know, because oftentimes our strengths, our greatest strengths are also our greatest weaknesses. And, you know, so the good Samaritan who feels they should rush in and help someone is going to be the first one to be bitten and infected. You know, so you have to temper what your initial impulses are to deal with a new reality. And often those people are the ones who are in the deepest denial. You know, the ones who say, no, trust authority.
Yeah.
They're going to take care of us. I mean, you had something great that you said about that.
I'd like to picture an orderly exit, an orderly evacuation of New York or Los Angeles in the event of, like, an atomic spill, like, picture this wonderful road system that we have that makes cars.
Single file line.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to work. We should be thinking about that. What would you do? What would you do? Your exit based on what the government says.
You know, I said on the panel yesterday, you know, the truth is that most cities have only, because of our truck system and our train system, have 3 days of food. And we've seen what happens, you know, in small emergencies where there's a run on stores. Well, something like this, that breakdown is going to happen. And you'll be dealing, which we haven't dealt really very much in The Walking Dead, with the breakdown of society and what happens when people are desperate. Not just, you know, desperate to stay away from people who are infected, but desperate basic level of survival as the world is crumbling around them.
I mean, we've seen it in small amounts. I was in New York when Storm Sandy hit, and I was in the Lower East Side. And, I mean, we all, when it happened, were like, it'll blow over. We'll just hang out. It's like luxury camping in our apartment building. And it went to hell really quickly because the people who hadn't stocked up on water, there was no water to be had. Cabs did not come downtown. You were on your own for over a week. And it, you know, something that simple, it was the lights went out. Now imagine there's no hope that the lights are coming back on. Now what do we do? So it's a quick sort of, it forces us to face ourselves and see what you're capable of, what you would do, how you would react, who can you rely on, who are your sort of comrades in arms. And that's what we're thrown into with this, which with Rick, he was thrown in, obviously he wakes up from a coma, but he walked into a world where there's some semblance of order. You knew how to kill. You knew who the bad guys were. We have no idea.
You mentioned that it's easy. You know, most people write about the 12th, not the 11th. You know, one can't help but wonder if it's easier on a certain level to write about 12 because it's so immediate, so sensational, and things like that. Couple that with the fact that you don't have the comic as a foundation here. Can you talk about the challenges that the writers face in the show?
Well, you know what? If you have great writers,
yeah.
You know, there are great original stories, movies, television, and it's wonderful to be able to not have expectations of fans. Like, if I get asked one more time, when's Negan going to be introduced on the show? We don't have that.
Yeah.
So we can really deal with what speculative fiction does so well, which is, you know, analogies of the issues that are facing the world today. So the people who want to go deeper can understand that we're actually, there's a commentary, subtle commentary. It's not a message show, but there's a subtle commentary about things that are going on in the world today, you know, about war zones, about authority, about right and wrong. And other people can just enjoy the ride. So that gives us an opportunity to do that.
And there's no spoilers for fans. The actors are just a surprise, so the fans must be at the edge of their seats. And I'm a fan of the original, so I wanted to see how things would begin at the very beginning when Rip Grimes were in a coma. Now even, I mean, we rush to get our script so that we can see what happens. We have no idea. That to me is exciting. It's fresh. It's sort of, it's this living, working creature that we're feeding and growing, and, you know, there's no blueprint.
I think that has helped the show be as long as the Walking Dead are the stories. Not about the zombies. It's the stories, the relationships, the characters. And that took a while to be built, to understand these people. So what we're doing in the beginning is establishing the characters, the relationships, in the midst of this collapse. Which is very interesting from the acting point of view. You know, it's not about like immediate thing, you know, you don't know what's happening, so you're reacting to that. This is happening while the other guy is in a coma. So you gotta understand that. Because some people might think, oh, there's a lot of, it's slower compared to, yeah, it is, because you're establishing the scenario. It's not like, okay, go. No, nobody knows. When you walk in the darkness, what do? You run? No, you go, you know, trying to feel where the hell you are, and you know, there's a hole in front of you, and this is what happens at the beginning. Then it takes off, but at the beginning it's about people and about relationships, and not only between. I think it's wonderful, ironic, and fluid stuff. Like for instance, the first person who understands what's going on is a drug addict. It's not the teacher. A school teacher, no, it's a drug addict. The first one that goes, this is not right. So it was a surprise. The way things change, the dynamic changes. People that you expect to do something, turns out they're not to be the one, it's this one, because the scenario so dictates. And so it's shifting, it's like walking over a quicksand. You don't know. And everybody's like that at the beginning. So it's really well written. They had a lot to go for. The writers, they had a good group of writers and superb producers.
Yeah, we're lucky.
And AMC is a class act. I mean, you know, those guys, they're batting like 9,000. You go relax, you know, you know that these guys know what they're doing.
And then just real quick, we saw big set pieces that come with end of the world situations in the original Walking Dead, such as cannibalism, the governor keeping his daughter alive, trying to hold out. What are some big set pieces that you guys either are hoping to bring or things that you guys want to see in the new series?
I think we've kind of talked about that. I mean, you know, we're set in Los Angeles. We're set in East Los Angeles that we haven't seen on television before. It's ordinary people, mostly blue-collar people, people, you know, who aren't the Hollywood types, and they're not, you know, it's not gang-ridden. And we really, I mean, the set pieces that I'm excited about are really the ones of seeing the survival of people like the average viewer that we have, you know, not equipped to deal with the apocalypse. And as you said, I mean, you know, what happens when people are told, okay, you know, we'll take care of you, the civil authorities will take care of you. Can you trust that that's going to happen? I mean, you've already seen, if you've seen the promo, you know, what happened on the freeway chase, and, you know, and how we experience what happened, which is, it's first you've got the camera from up above, and then you've got you see it, you know, from the news footage, and you see it on a cell phone. That is really how things are disseminated.
Like, it was the bath salt situation. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally like the helicopter camera. What's happening? There's cops everywhere. All of a sudden, there's a zoom in, and a man ate another man's nose, and we all freaked out. Now, for us, that was like, oh, how strange, bath salts. Only drug addicts do that. We don't have that. So for us, it's just this, like, plummet into, is everybody going to be like this? What is this disease that makes us do this? And I think as a fan, what's exciting for me, at least, is to see character change. So you go from, you know, a beaten housewife to now a total badass. Or someone with a crossbow, Daryl, who we think is a badass, has a heart of gold. I love seeing that change. And as an actor especially, it's so much fun to play those things. You know what I mean? So I think there's so much invested for the fans, especially because they have no idea what's going to happen. And there are surprises.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Have you seen the pilot?
No, I haven't. No.